Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I read an account this week of a man. He was trying to make sense of demons in Scripture. And he had heard that people in remote regions of the world still experience demons like they did in the Bible. And so he had a friend who was a missionary in the remote region of Papua New Guinea. And he said, I wanted him to validate the biblical stories about demons by telling me that he had heard them speak, that he had witnessed an exorcism. I really wanted some hair-raising accounts. It took the missionary several weeks to answer his letter. And the man said this of the missionary's response. It took me a few years to understand his response. He avoided my request for a description of face-to-face encounters with the demonic. He didn't say anything about hearing them speak or about exorcisms. He did, however, say that there were demons in Papua New Guinea, and he was shocked that I did not see any where I lived in Memphis, Tennessee. The missionary wrote, do you not see demons at work in the adult entertainment industry, in violence, in racial hatred, in addiction, and in poverty? See, the man thought the missionary just didn't understand his question. But then he writes, later it became obvious to me that I did not understand his answer. Racism and poverty and the whole abuse of women in the adult film industry were certainly and obviously present in the city where I live. And I accepted that these things were evil, but just everyday things. Things that were always there and that would always be there. I wanted to hear something more biblical about demons speaking to a missionary or visions of demon possession. He just wanted to talk about everyday stuff. Friends, I think we experience the demonic every day. But we tend to write it off as the everyday stuff that's just the normal course for our world. I mean, we have the abuse of government power at every level. The voyeurism of the internet is constantly present. We have accepted that there will be the poor and the hungry in our city. We think these things, they're wrong, they're bad, but they're not demonic. But I want to say that the demonic is anything that opposes the will of God and God's kingdom coming to earth. But I think we have to put demons in their rightful place. C.S. Lewis, in the Screwtape Letters, he says this. There are two equal and opposite errors in which we can fall into about demons. One is to disbelieve their existence. The other is to believe and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They are equally pleased with both errors. I agree with Lewis. To not believe is, I think, is simply a mistake, and to give them too much credit is to misunderstand their limited power. See, we are really, really, really good at letting ourselves be influenced by the slightest of breezes. In today's gospel reading, it's pretty cut and dry. Jesus shows us today where demons stand in relationship to his power. The gospel is easy. It's three parts. Jesus is in the synagogue teaching. A man gets up from the midst of the congregation with a demon, and Jesus casts out the demon. I appreciate how simple it is. But what we have represented in the story is more than just an exorcism. There is a cosmic battle between good and between evil that's come into the synagogue in physical form. With a possessed man on one side and Jesus, the God-man, on the other. I think there's a couple of points about this story that should be made. The first is, I think we should pay attention to what the demon says. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? We know that you are the Holy One of God. Isn't it interesting that in the Gospel of Mark, the first to identify Jesus' divinity is a demon? See, evil forces have the most to lose with the coming of the God-man and his good news. And the second is that Jesus has power. We have a God who does not let those forces that oppose him have complete control over the world. Jesus uses the same power, that cover that he used to create the heavens and the earth, that he uses to create faith in us and brings life to our souls, the power of his word. He uses his word to command evil out of his presence. I think today we don't see grand exorcisms like the one in the gospel reading. But there are demons that we harbor that need to be exorcised too. Kathleen Norris, she writes, "When I think about the demons I need exorcised, I have to look inward to my heart and my soul. Anger is my best demon. Useful when I have to go into woman warrior mode. Harmful when I use it to gratify myself, either in self-justification or to deny my fears." See, the demon's job is to make us turn inward and to selfishly look at our own interest, not individually, but as a church. From keeping us from loving God and loving our neighbor and seeing God's plan. Unclean spirits, they come to us in many forms. It can be the paralyzing fear of the future. Distrust that's ignited by a little comment. Commercials that breed consumerism. In my family, we call it the gimmies. Abusive relationship that damage people's world's view, rejection from divorce, bitterness from scars of the past, helplessness from the impending death of a loved one. They perpetuate in us habits and cycles in our daily lives and in our relationships that cause harm. And they convince us that all of these things are justified and that they're worth holding on to. See, their evil is that they convince us that it's just too painful to disturb them. And it's best that they be kept under the surface of our lives, never to poke their head out when anybody else is around. And these demons, they come to us through the natural course of our lives. We seem to collect them, and then we feed them, and then we hold on to them for too long. So not only is the cosmic battle played out in the world, it plays out within our own souls. The demons that we have, though, they don't know that they've already been conquered. Jesus, whose fame grew in all of Galilee, whose fame grew to all of Rome, whose fame grew across the world, is the one who wins the battle against evil. See, his death was seen as a victory for the other side, but it wasn't. It was a victory for God. See, on the cross, Jesus, he takes all of the sin and shame and demons and brokenness and pain on himself, and they are put to death. Second Corinthians tells us, for our sake, God made Jesus to be sin. He who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God became human so that in him humanity would be united to divinity and our sins would rest on God himself. And then after 3 days, Jesus rose from the grave. But all of those sins, all of those demons that we carry and the brokenness we have, the things that he took on himself that died with him, they stayed dead while he rose by the power of God. They just don't know it yet. See, they're still in the grave. Have you ever been the last person in a room to know something? I hate that. But that's what demons are. They're the last persons to know. So friends, let's stop being grave robbers, shall we? Digging them up and holding on to them. Proverbs reminds us, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Let's never forget that the battle of good and evil in the world, the battle of good and evil in us, is won by God. Amen.